It's Phantom Island. My name is Stephen Godfrey. Today we're going to talk a little college basketball, a little bit about the old North Carolina State Wolfpack. I'm making the hand thing. You just can't see it because this is an audio format. So I told a visual joke. This show's going great. Ryan and I are going to talk a little bit about Will Wade. We're going to talk a little bit about a media trope, a concept, if you will, that might be null and void forever. We're going to find out. But first, we want to thank our friends at Homefield. You can go to Homefield on the internet, and you can buy really nice sports apparel. Okay? It's a very simple transaction. You go to homefieldapparel.com, or you just kind of search Homefield in like any of the devices that you own. You can go up. You can sign for 20% off. You got a little sign up there. You go to 2025 Indianapolis Motor Speedway Collection right now. Let's say college sports isn't your thing. If so, I appreciate you listening. I'm not entirely sure why you're here. I don't have a parole officer at the moment. But you can find really, really nice Indianapolis 500, both, I would say, current and vintage gear. Really, really multiple vintages of Indianapolis 500 apparel. Or if you're like, you know what? I bet there's no one in the world selling vintage Atlantic 10 conference merchandise. Well, you're wrong. You're very wrong. That's Homefield Apparel. These people started by hawking beautiful, forgotten, ignored art and logos from very small schools. That's how I hooked up with these guys in the first place, because like maybe their 20th school ever, 15th, was the school that I grew up cheering for, Georgia Southern. So I got excited about that. Been working with Homefield pretty much in some way, shape, or form ever since then. Go to homefieldapparel.com. Sign up, get information on fun new apparel, buy a trucker hat. It still works. They're kind of timeless now. Go Indianapolis 500 because I don't know any of the drivers. I think I've already plugged this once, but between the Indiana and Notre Dame baseball shirts, I mean, they're called like pullover or whatever, but like it's a baseball shirt. Man, I don't know if I could pull it off, but I'm going to try. Go to homefieldapparel.com. All right, Ryan Annie, I want to take you back to March Madness, which is what everybody's thinking about and talking about in middle May.
You want to talk about the national champion Florida Gators, right?
That's right, them Gator boys. How does it feel to go to a non-basketball school and see three national titles?
How dare you? Our important basketball legacy stretching back to Dwayne Shinsius should not be denied.
Your arena is the same as like where people swim and stuff.
Okay, but here's the thing. When the rest of the SEC is like your new money football anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just all gravy.
I want to disagree with you and have a little bit of patter, but I don't.
That's, you're
that's,
tired.
That's
I get
fine.
It.
That's fine. It's an accurate Florida description. Can't wait for your next 10-win season where you guys don't sell out a postseason game because you have ennui.
I'm not doing this today.
All right. So I want to take you through the NCAA tournament peaks in its first week. That's not an insult to the NCAA tournament. It's just that you have bracketology going on. You still have the fresh, like outrage is a strong word, but there's always a debate about who got left in the final.
Who got seeded where.
Yeah. You got the play-in games, NIT nonsense. To just in general, it's really like kind of, it's like a little 7 to 8 day window where college basketball is the most important sport in America. And it's the only 7 to 8 day window where that occurs. It's not, again, like the tournament still matters as that goes along, but nothing's more fun than that first week. So by Sunday, on Selection Sunday, you have tiny little McNeese State with head coach Will Wade. They win the Southland tournament a couple days prior, but on Selection Sunday, they're in, right? Automatic bid. They're a 12 seed. Yep. I'm going to, for the next however many minutes we talk, call this the first round. If anyone listening is going to call it the second round or take umbrage with this or respond on Twitter, I will gracefully respond by hunting you down and castigating you publicly as some sort of like agitprop for the NCAA. It's the first round.
I appreciate your dedication to growing new audience.
It's the first round. I swear to God, I was making the show notes for this episode.
Yeah.
It's not the second round. I'm fine with the play-in. You know what? Who doesn't deserve a little revenue other than the city of Dayton, Ohio? Mm-hmm. Great.
Yep.
Play it in. But okay. Y'all, it's the first round.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
First round.
I'm there. Whew.
In the first round, McNeese is a 12.
Yeah.
They're slated to play Clemson, who is a 5.
Yeah.
Classic 5-12.
Will Wade's alma mater.
Will Wade's fandom.
Yeah.
Do we want to put this in a ditch real fast? Because Will Wade...
Real quick, sure.
...loves Clemson Tigers football.
Yeah.
Capital F football.
Yeah.
I get this as a designation because, like, you work in college basketball. You never know where you're going to end up. Spoiler, an ACC rival as head coach.
Yep.
This man has delayed the start of practice, which is, I think, especially funny because in college athletics, all you ever hear about is coaches extolling the virtues of punctuality
to the student athlete. The preciousness of time.
That's right. Yeah. And he's like, hold on, we're not going yet. Because he's in his office. Hold on.
Clemson missed another field goal. Game's not over.
He is that kind of Clemson fan.
Yeah.
I also find this funny, by the way. If you've never heard of Will Wade, you're going into this completely blind.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be as funny.
But we'll get you there.
I love that Will Wade is emotionally invested in a product created by Dabo Swinney. Because I'm going to take you on a journey here about personalities and honesty and what we represent as public figures.
Approaches to modern college athletics.
Diametrically opposed, one might say. All right. But you know what? Go Tigers. We've got our typical window of time between Selection Sunday and the start on Wednesday before the big Thursday thing starts.
Before things are really rolling, yeah.
News breaks that Wade is, and this is where we get to play the fun adjective game in not just college sports media, but sports media. NC State is focusing on, circling is my favorite. That's the one that you get
You know these are not adjectives, right?
Hang on, I'm not done yet. Those are verbs. What I'm saying is, by the end of this, we're gonna change the adjective on Will.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes. So it'll be like circling.
Okay. Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
And then by the end of Wednesday, Will Wade is presumed next head coach. And then the adjectives start because Will Wade, and I'm gonna tell this story out of order.
That's fine.
Thinking someone out there doesn't know anything about Will Wade.
Yeah.
All right. Is once again the worst man in the world.
Mm.
A
the problem horrible, with college callous, basketball.
Selfish
yeah.
agent of blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. Because Will Wade is, again, probably just going to be the next head coach at NC State. He's at McNeese State. McNeese State, if you don't know where, you probably don't know where McNeese is, okay? It's in Lake Charles, Louisiana at the bottom. Not a basketball powerhouse, but Will Wade has managed to take this team to its second consecutive NCAA tournament. Why he's at McNeese, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Really having fun, assuming that the listener knows nothing. The game is scheduled for Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what have we done? On the eve of this important game, as a 12, going into the 5-12 game, the classic upset matchup. All right? There's a litany of outrage. Audio format here, you can feel my finger quotes right now. Ryan can see them.
I'm
only doing it with my left hand. Okay. Yeah. Outrage that this is going to somehow distract the McNeese State Cowboys as they go into this pivotal NCAA tournament game. My favorite adjective, this is what I was getting at, is that certain members of the national sports media just start calling him Wolfpack Will.
Okay.
If this is a pejorative, we're slandering Will because he is the favorite, or again, they're circling him as the next head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's going to be the head coach. Okay, spoiler. All right. This goes so far in terms of the level of mainstream attention that Charles Barkley talks about this on that weird combined Turner sports.
The Turner sort of like,
two-headed monster thing where it's like the Inside the NBA crew talks college basketball for 5 minutes.
And we get to find out how much college basketball they have or haven't watched.
Which is about as much as I have, to be honest.
Yeah.
So Barkley says, and I'm going to include this whole quote because this really is not a dig at Charles Barkley at all. I think Charles Barkley betrays the kind of honesty that I would hope for out of anyone in sports. First of all, I think he's a hell of a coach. I'm a Will Wade fan. I want to make that perfectly clear. This should not have gotten out. He could have said, I'm here. We're getting ready to go to the NCAA tournament. We can announce it whenever we lose. I don't think it's fair to those kids going into the game knowing their coach is going to be gone. I think this is total BS that this got out. Okay.
Okay.
We're just going to use Barkley's quote. I'm not going to go after various members of the media who work essentially as NCAA enforcement, Boy Scouts. Congrats on your merit badge. Ryan, McNeese won the basketball game.
They did.
They beat Clemson 69-67. And in doing research for this episode, I forgot. Because, you know, the games are all happening at once. You're going back and forth. Yep. They led by 24 at one point.
That's pretty good. That feels decidedly focused.
I want to bring this up because they didn't squeak one out.
Yeah.
Now, Clemson definitely came roaring back in the second half. Blah, 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 whatever. The fact that McNeese in the first half led by 24 points. Mm-hmm. This is the stat I really just kind of, let's sit down. I really don't know anything about basketball.
Okay,
That's fine. I am as grossly unqualified to talk about this sport as anything else we've
this
done.
This is a fun recurring theme here where we're just like, hey, listener, come along and find out what Steven doesn't know about things. But go ahead.
Idiot Ask a Question was not as catchy as Phantom Island. So Idiot notices here that they're leading by 24 in the first half, which would be anathema to this concept of, oh, it's an unfocused team. The players are heartbroken. Their coach is leaving. They don't know what to do. This is a smear on the good name of college athletics and amateurism. This sounds as dumb and ham-fisted as it should. It's because we are representing or portraying some sort of idea of a sport that should not really have existed in the public domain, at least for the last 20 years.
Okay. Right?
Billions of dollars come into this sport, this sport and football, namely. And the concept of amateurism and professionalism become grossly bastardized.
But this is not necessarily an amateurism issue, but go ahead with where you're going with this.
Right. But these poor kids at McNeese State, because their coach is leaving to go to a bigger school that's going to pay him more money and allow him to get better players.
Yeah.
So let's pause.
A lot easier to make the NCAA tournament, by the way.
In theory.
Yeah.
Okay. In the ACC. So this is where the story would stop. Really pretty much any point in time in the history of college athletics until like 2 years ago, the last 24 months, all right? Terrible Will Wade. We can carry this narrative. We can write all of the one-sentence paragraphed columns for all of our...
Abandon is the verb that will get used. Yeah.
All of our super healthy media institutions like large newspapers and websites that are definitely doing great.
Yep.
And so the near octogenarian crowd can wag their fingers and say, this is what's wrong with America. McNeese won the game.
Yes.
They did not win their next game. They lost to Purdue.
Sure. They are a 12 seed.
They are a 12 seed. You know,
12 seeds don't usually win runs.
Before I go on, just we would consider a Southland Conference team that takes a 12 seed and wins any game. That's a success.
Yeah. Yes, sure.
This is a successful season.
Yeah.
I think they went either 18 or 17-1 in conference play. They won their conference tournament. They went to the NCAA tournament. They beat a big brand.
They beat a big school.
Yeah, and then they got knocked in the
Big basketball conference.
Okay. So we're good that they only won one game in the NCAA tournament.
Sure, yes.
This defeats the concept that the kids were distracted.
I would say so, yes.
We have ruled that. Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to now play you an audio clip.
Oh,
all right. Okay. This was after the game.
I mean, we're honest. I mean, shoot, half the kids are recruited. Hey, look, the goal is to go Power 5 after this year, and some of you guys can go with me, and some of you guys, you know, I mean, so... We all know what's up, and I mean, our guys, this was great for them. They're going to have a lot of schools in their DMs tonight, too, looking to pick them up, pay them. So it's a good.
How dare he? How dare he? By the way, that was the Field of 68 podcast, and Will Wade, I think, was like, looked like he was kind of like FaceTiming in, so there's a little garble on that audio. Yeah, I apologize. Yeah. Thanks to the, that was the Field of 68 that he appeared on. How dare he? We're talking about free markets. We're talking about meritocracy, Ryan. This is not about receiving an education. So Will Wade did his level best to basically diffuse all of this stuff, right? Will Wade says, this is what's supposed to happen. The thing I want to focus on is that he also told the media that he told his players this was going on.
Yes.
Now, this is not... That's not groundbreaking on its own.
Right.
I worked in college football as a reporter for a long time, and to some degree, I have a couple anecdotes where guys were pretty transparent. Like, hey, guys, you know, blah, 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 distraction, shut out the noise, we're going to focus, one heartbeat, all that. But you're probably going to hear some things.
Yeah.
It wasn't common that happened, but it's not groundbreaking that he said, hey, you're probably going to hear about me and other schools.
Mm-hmm.
The groundbreaking thing here is that he said, hey, you guys might come with me.
Yeah, right, right. And there is to your point, for the first time in the last, you know, 3-4 years, whatever it's been, for the first time in a while, there is sort of a commonality of path or opportunity, I guess I should say, for coaches and players in terms of their mobility, their ability to sort of like capitalize on a good year, this, that, and the other.
So after the game, this is in between Clemson and Purdue. It's a quote courtesy of CBS. I think when you're in the loop and both ends are transparent about things, there's not too much room for conflict, McNeese Sr., Christian Shumate said. Everybody's aware of everything that's going on. And when there's a clear understanding, everybody keeps the same angle in the front of mind. We'll worry about all that stuff later.
Okay.
Can you recall a point in time that a player was that transparent publicly about the transactional nature of...
Oh, well, not unless you wanted a NCAA investigation. No, obviously that's incredibly different from college basketball and college sports as we are used to them over the last 50, 80 years.
Okay, we have a small piece of context here that I have to spend a little bit of time with before we keep going, because this isn't as simple as one coach leaving a small school for a big school.
Sure, a thing that happens all the time.
Let's talk about Will Wade for a second.
Okay.
And why I love him so much. So much. Will Wade's winning percentage is 701.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
In 2017, this is sort of where our story really begins.
Yeah.
Wade was hired from Virginia Commonwealth, VCU, after he took VCU, the Rams, question mark? Is that right?
You're going to make me look it up. I'm pretty sure.
I don't even think VCU has a football team.
They are, in fact, the VCU Rams. You got it in one.
All right. Shout out to Richmond. He took the Rams to two NCAA tournament bids. I have a minor knowledge of VCU because that's where Shaka Smart, I think, started as well. So VCU is like one of those teams that like comes up.
Yeah. Well, Wade took over the job from Shaka Smart.
Okay. First season at LSU, they go to the NIT. After that, they're a house of fire. All right, ready? Wade leads LSU to 3 tournaments in 4 seasons, and one of those is a Sweet 16. The only reason it really wasn't 4 tournaments in 4 seasons was that the outlier is the 2020 COVID total shutdown.
Right, right.
And when they were shut down, when the season stops completely, LSU was 21-10 at the time and projected to make the field. So we can assume... He's dealing straight. He's going to the NCAA tournament every single year at LSU. And this is before, like, we can use the 2024-25 season as really kind of a breakout where the SEC suddenly is just dominating and crushing NCAA tournament bids in basketball. So if you throw out the COVID time and then you add in his McNeese State seasons, mm-hmm. Wade has led teams to the NCAA tournament 5 straight years. He's very good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's been very good also at non-traditional basketball schools. One might argue until he took the NC State job, the most traditional basketball school he was at was that tiny mid-major in VCU.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Okay. So why is he so good at this? Well, Will Wade, that transparent, matter-of-fact...
Straight-dealing.
Charming man that we heard on that clip.
Yeah.
Carried those principles over into talent acquisition at before talent acquisition became as above board as it is today. So in 2019, it broke publicly that Wade was on an FBI wiretap in 2017. So this is basically as he starts at LSU talking about a very famous phrase, quote, a strong ass offer to a recruit named Javonte Smart. Now, Ryan, what stands out about what I just told you? What is the strange descriptor there?
FBI?
Wiretap?
Is the one that sticks out mostly? Yeah.
FBI wiretap.
Yeah, the phrase FBI wiretap.
To be clear, he didn't say he was going to murder recruit Javonte Smart.
Right.
We're not selling drugs
We're not even using like laundered criminal proceeds to pay basketball players.
We're not moving phone cards from...
This is LSU, so I should... Put an asterisk on.
As of this recording.
Yeah.
As of this recording. We're not funneling money from a children's charity. They do that in football, okay? I'm sorry. A children's hospital. A children's hospital. This isn't football, okay? So if you're unaware, the FBI decided we should spend a lot of time and resources investigating corruption, in college basketball recruiting.
In college basketball and... shoe companies.
The best summary of a sprawling multi-year just absolute waste of time came from our buddy Andy Staples over at On3. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read you his paragraph.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm afraid people would turn off the podcast in disbelief and fall down a Wikipedia hole. And we don't want that because our metrics are really about you. We need you to complete the show.
Sure.
So rather than you trying to pull up Wikipedia on your phone in traffic right now, I'm going to do it for you, okay?
Okay.
Courtesy of our buddy Andy. The FBI ballers investigation, the code word was fucking ballers, Ryan. Ballers.
Subtlety is an art. Please go ahead.
The ballers investigation was a waste of tax dollars that found what everybody already knew. Shoe company employees paid players and their families under the table. So the players would go to the schools that had contracts with the employees' particular shoe company. The case the government eventually made was that an Adidas executive named Jim Gatto and two wannabe agents slash financial planners defrauded universities by paying players to go to those schools. Yes, it was indeed as stupid as that last sentence sounds. The Justice Department got people sentenced to federal prison by claiming an Adidas executive defrauded Kansas, among other schools, by paying players so they would go to Kansas. The University of Kansas was apparently so aggrieved by this fraud that in 2019, it had extended its Adidas deal to 2031. That was a whole ass thing that happened in the news. That was a whole thing. Do you have any memories from that whatsoever?
My memories are these, that one, when this first came about, like the idea that DOJ and the FBI were investigating college basketball was like an oh shit moment.
Yeah.
Like before we sort of knew the meat of it, it was sort of like, oh, okay, like there's maybe something here because you assume federal law enforcement's not getting involved unless there is money laundering or government bribery or whatever.
My response was a little different.
Sure.
I was sitting in a DoubleTree hotel in Culver City, California, shooting the inserts for Foul Play, the TV series, when this happened. And the production crew that I was working with was like, oh no, we're on the wrong scandal.
Yeah.
This is going to change the world of college sports. Because this was like, when I say it broke, it was on all forms of national news.
Yes.
For like a week.
Yes.
Like I saw it on like the Today Show in a hotel lobby.
I remember, I think we mostly made fun of them, but I remember like the boards, the presentation boards that like, the AUSA would bring out.
They had the science fair trifold
That's right. How money works and or whatever.
Yeah. Hypothesis. On this experiment, I will add vinegar to baking soda.
Here's the best example I can think of. Do you remember before the Segway came out? There was all this hype about like an invention is coming that will be like revolutionary and change. This was the segue.
Get rid of your car.
This was the segue of college basketball.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Or like the Meta glasses maybe.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Where I'm like, okay.
It's going to change your life.
I think I'm good.
Yeah. And it ends up Microsoft Zooning.
Right. Right.
That's a verb. Okay. Why did we just take that fun little detour of context? Because people hate Will Wade.
Yes.
By and large.
Yes.
The NCAA hates Will Wade. The NCAA succeeded eventually in getting LSU to fire Wade. LSU initially fought the NCAA case. Okay. And so Wade was this embattled coach for a long, long time until eventually LSU decides, you know what? Like, we're going to have to get rid of this guy. But Ryan, all this
happened. It took a while, though.
It took a long time.
You're talking about.
But he kept winning.
Reporting starts in March 2019. And Will Wade is not terminated by LSU until almost exactly 3 years later.
This, of course, makes people in the national media totally calm and not overreactive at
right.
all. No
right.
one writes 7 million scathing
diatribes.
Columns.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated head coach. LSU fires Will Wade in a... Sorry, there's three headlines here. I was the social headline. Here's my favorite one. Years of corruption and enablement led to shameful and deserving end for Will Wade. If I did find someone who didn't know anything about sports and I read them that headline, you would have to assume an actual crime occurred, right?
Yes, and without getting like way down the rabbit hole, college basketball has those. College basketball has those coaches who have like enabled actual corruption and actual crime.
Go Bears.
I said we're not going to go down the rabbit hole today.
I feel like there is there
but yes. Will Wade
is
was
there not a true crime podcast about Baylor basketball?
If not, I'm sure you'll tell me we're going to start working on one. So I don't know.
Spoiler. Yeah. Okay, so we've established that Will Wade was transparently dirty by the old rules of the world in college sports.
Not necessarily singularly or distinctly so amongst his peers, but yes, sure.
Basically unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
Kind of smirked his way through. Eventually got clipped by LSU.
Yeah.
Ryan, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a big LSU basketball fan. How's it gone for LSU since they fired
you? I can't answer this, actually. Yeah. LSU has, I think, in the 3 years since Will Wade was terminated, they've not made the NCAA tournament in any of those years. Mm-hmm. I think the best they've done in conference play is 1 year of 500 ball.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, 2025... when the SEC put a bunch of teams into the tournament and was sort of like the home for basketball amongst power conferences, boy, was LSU just like bottom of the barrel. LSU and South Carolina just like...
Didn't make it.
No, no.
Didn't go to the NCAA.
Didn't look close.
If you were even remotely considered a bubble team in the Southeastern Conference this year, you made it based really on the value of the overall conference in your little net ranking RPI stuff.
Yeah.
Except LSU.
Go ahead. I'm going to look something up for you.
So since this alleged distraction from this terrible human being, here's what's happened. It won't shock you that Will Wade is doing great. Will Wade lands on his feet. Mm-hmm. He gets fired by LSU. He goes a little bit west on Interstate 10, lands at McNeese, builds McNeese into a mid-major power that goes to the NCAA tournament twice. Of course, now he gets hired by NC State. So in the 2 months since... NC State is currently a top 25 class per 247, and that is a whatever their algorithm combines the portal and high school recruiting in. But they're a house of fire recruiting, right? They're kicking butt, all right? You can tell I'm speaking very generally because I don't know anything about college basketball, but I did check some numbers.
Yeah.
So he's breaking through. They're right now, as we record this, they are in on various 4- and 5-star commitments for the 25-26 cycle. They haven't signed yet, but they are doing exactly what you would want out of a hire like this to try to return NC State to some sort of relevance.
Yeah.
Okay. He also made good on that word, which wasn't, he didn't say it directly, but the media clip I played you, two of his players, Aylin Breed and Quadir Copeland, transferred from McNeese to North Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the recipients now of this Will Wade fortune, or good fortune. They are receiving NIL. They are moving up. They will be better positioned to continue their basketball careers. And also, most importantly, in the immediate term, they are making money for their efforts, just like Will Wade is, okay? But what about the lowly McNeese Cowboys? Like, what about if you really hate Will Wade and you're like, well, you took advantage of this school that took you in when you had this NCAA scarlet letter on you before the entire world changed and the NIL and the portal, all that stuff happened, right? Poor old McNeese.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, without knowing where you're going with this, this should be very bad for McNeese. You're losing your coach. You're losing a couple of your players. And based on the what the other player you quoted said, this is potentially a springboard for existing talent to go to bigger programs.
It's still a springboard.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing fine. In fact, they were so put off and aghast by the actions of Will Wade that they hired one of his assistants. I'm trying not to say this without laughing. Bill Armstrong, who was his assistant at LSU. Bill Armstrong, longtime Ole Miss assistant in the basketball program. Armstrong has signed 4 former 4-star recruits out of the transfer portal as of this recording.
Okay.
Is this the dead cat bounce? Is this momentum? Oh, Shirley McNeese. No. You know what this is? I picked up the phone and I asked a bunch of football people, but that's because that's the shape of my Rolodex.
Yeah.
This is the original reporting for this episode.
Okay.
Great. I was told by 2 people that McNeese is floating something in the neighborhood of $1.5 million in NIL to the men's basketball program alone.
Huh.
That 1.5 number.
FBI wouldn't have liked that in 2017, just hell, for the record. No.
And that is a strong-ass offer. That $1.5 million exists today and was organized and committed through Wade's tenure. What I'm trying to say is Wade built that thing and said, I'm not going to be here forever, but if you want to keep this good vibe going, where McNeese becomes a national name in a news cycle,
You've got a really good chance of doing it in basketball.
Yep.
McNeese is I would say culturally is a football place. Mm-hmm. Like it's in the state of Louisiana. Yep. I have some, I can't remember. I think it was my wife's paternal grandfather played football at McNeese. If you were to go to Lake Charles, you'd probably think football first.
Right? Okay.
You're between New Orleans and Houston.
Yep.
And yet they're making national news, and it's not just because of Will Wade. So does he leave? Yes. Does this news break before the tournament is over and they're out? Yes. Does he take players with him, Ryan?
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, and is there fallout from him leaving? Yes. Sincere Parker, one of their guards, signs with Memphis.
Sure.
In the transfer portal.
Sure.
This is not going to be the same McNeese State men's basketball team. But they are still doing the Will Wade thing with a Will Wade assistant and seem, I wouldn't say better for it, but functional for it. And I don't think I would have ever had a conversation about McNeese State basketball at all if not for Will Wade arriving there 3 years ago.
Right.
So this is where I put down my notes. I'm trying to figure out where the distraction is. Because the reason I brought this to you today is that coach's departure is creating a distraction has been a trope for as long as I have ever followed sports media or participated in it.
Not exclusively in college sports either.
Not exclusively in college sports.
Listen, I watched my beloved Philadelphia Eagles lose to the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and a lot of the blame, from fans at least, was put on Jonathan Gannon, who was interviewing and eventually took the Arizona Cardinals job.
Right.
And the defense in that Super Bowl did not perform in a way that I think people hoped that they would.
Mm.
His unit didn't show up in the way that the Eagles fans would have liked.
So you had a coordinator in a Super Bowl who was on his way to a head coaching job.
This is really the trying to
miscalculate.
Stuff Pandora's box back closed a lot this episode.
Tell me more.
But yes, you're right. This has been a trope. Now, I say that because I think the NFL is a useful counterpoint for this because the NFL has very strict rules about who you can interview when. Because I don't know if it's because they are let's tease this out a little bit. The NFL basically says once you're in the playoffs, there are, let's say, limited windows in which other teams can interview your staff. And sometimes you have to even sign off on you can talk to our offensive coordinator for your head coaching job or whatever.
Right.
Who is that meant to protect primarily? To whose benefit is it that you can't talk to, in the case of the Eagles again?
Yeah.
You couldn't talk to Kellen until I think media week or something like that.
Okay, but Kellen Moore to the New Orleans Saints was a known conclusion, the Saints entered Super Bowl week without a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Seahawks did this 1 year because Dan Quinn went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Gannon example, I think I could probably come up with five or six more.
Yeah.
Especially if you include NFC and AFC championship teams.
Sure.
Have you ever heard, years after the fact when stuff tends to bubble up and come to light, have you ever heard a player say, that's the reason we lost the AFC championship game at the Super Bowl? Because so-and-so is out the door.
No.
So what is the purpose?
I think it is a gentleman's agreement between owners that hey, we're trying to do a lot of things at once, and I understand that it is a theoretical distraction.
Yes.
I'm not sure that it's necessarily a distraction for the players, but it can be a distraction for the coach. Okay. I get that.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
The NFL does one thing exceptionally well, and that's calendars.
Sure.
And I think the NFL wants to make sure that they're never on top of themselves.
Yes, this is a 7-course meal. You can't bring 3 courses to the table at once. We're trying to spread this out. I think that's probably part of it, too.
Yeah. And imagine for a second that Kellen Moore, and this is all being bandied about, and it's the Dallas Cowboys who command so much mind share in the media, and not the New Orleans Saints this past cycle.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't want that.
Okay.
They don't want the kind of like LeBron media effect that the NBA has to deal with sometimes, yeah, where the future home of a potential coach or star player is overshadowing the championship round that's occurring in real time.
Yeah.
But let's go back to college for a second.
Yeah, sorry. I had to talk about the Eagles, obviously.
You can make a 40, 50, 60-year argument that, oh, God, this is horrible. What, you know, how, why would he do this to these kids? I would point out, I was not privy to the NC State men's basketball head coaching search in 2025. Yeah. I've covered hundreds of searches. The coaches themselves as individuals are not
the tip of the almost spear.
Never responsible for the leak.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
There's too many people in the room.
Right.
And most coaches who kind of growls on the podium, even though they are headed out, really, really don't want that information out.
So then, in a way,
I don't think Wade falls into that category. I think Wade just kind of shrugged, to be honest.
So this is this just a case of like it's bad manners?
Right, but what I'm, yes, we can't. So we can drill down, and we can't find a victim here.
No, no, in this instance, and well, yeah, I agree with that. And it's interesting because I think when you have found people who are pissed when this happens in the past, it's because of a lack of transparency.
It's yes,
coach leaves for new job
the next day, you had no idea,
and texts the team, yes, or doesn't hold a meeting or what, sure, like the it's sure, it's almost always in the like, oh, we got the rug pulled out from under us, and from everything you've told me, the opposite is true.
So Wade says publicly during the NCAA tournament, like, yeah, this news is out, this is something we've discussed. He sort of proposes that it's, he kind of does it as like a hypothetical of like, hey, I recruited you to go to the, you know, the power level. Maybe you'll come with me. Like, you know, you'll have a chance to do that.
Yeah.
And then he made the joke about, hey, there are going to be schools in their DMs tonight.
Yeah.
He didn't say that in a negative way. He just said, hey, like, you're going to be presented with better opportunities, and so am I. So I guess my question now, I can do a victory lap on certain corners of the media making it their mission to destroy Will Wade, and it keeps backfiring.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the Lucy pulls the football, mm-hmm, like every single, mm-hmm, time. And that would be great. I could do a mirthful victory lap for sure. But I'm genuinely asking, who's the victim? Who does this hurt? And why is this a distraction in this day and age? We're hearing simultaneously, Ryan, about how terrible certain college athletes are right now for going to their schools and hitting them up for cash, right? During, yeah, the NIL era.
Yeah.
I think the template for which you're creating these tropes has changed so fundamentally. You are, I think, I'm going to like make a verdict here in sports media law. I don't think you can claim it's a distraction anymore.
I think I agree with you. And I think my hesitation is that if we're framing this as who gets hurt when these things happen, I think the best answer I can give you, and it's not a good answer, I'm gonna lay that out to begin with, is our collective like fan understanding of the way the world should work. Like this is just very, okay, different. And I think back to like when free agency hit baseball and the NFL and things like that, and people just sort of had to wrap their heads around, wait, what do you mean? Like, if we get a guy, he's supposed to be a Pittsburgh Steeler for the rest of his career until we don't want him anymore. And that's a, right, different thing. And I think there's such a sort of like, so much of being a sports fan is understanding the culture and like the cultural language of the thing that you're watching. Like, when is it okay to do this? When is this not okay? Like, these things seem kind of weird, but you can boil it down to sports in many ways are about learning when is it okay to hit somebody and when is it not.
Okay.
And I think this is a case where that understanding is evolving, where because we can hear from players now in a way that we couldn't 10 years ago, we know that it's not a distraction because we've heard it. But before, this might have been a distraction because maybe coaches weren't as upfront with their players, or coaches felt like they were going to get ripped in the media if they were upfront about these things. And that created sort of a like self-reinforcing expectation of behavior. Again, that's not like a real victim.
No, I don't. I'm struggling here to find any situation in which this is a negative moving forward. It's not going to stop. Mm-hmm. It's going to get worse, right? Because you're going to have star players on mid-major basketball teams, especially if they get that NCAA bid. That's going to be the worst thing that could happen to the short-term future of that basketball program. We're seeing more power programs take up spots. Mm-hmm. This is also something that the power commissioners are pushing for, is to edge, slowly kind of push out the mid-majors, which, by the way, like, kind of makes the whole tournament, those first 2 weeks, really
it gives
feel
a lot of juice to it.
And,
yeah, sure.
You know, dramatic, and has, it creates little narratives.
It's a lot of the fun, 100%.
Yeah, like Bucknell beating Kansas and sure. Vermont winning a game. Like that, like this yeah. kind of, it's not the reason we tune in. I know someone's going to, some Duke fan's going to, well, actually, the shit out of me.
And
I,
people are going to say, like, look at the ratings for this yeah. Final Four that was all blue, you know, all like number
and
ones.
And that's fine too. Yeah. Right. But we want to have the variety, and we're shifting in one direction.
Yeah.
Kid makes the tournament at a McNeese next year, and like Bill Armstrong's not leaving, mm-hmm. that kid's going to be on a roster at a bigger school the following year. Like if there's sure. a star player for McNeese next year and Armstrong's not getting looked at for a job, that kid's probably going to leave and the coach is not.
I think this is also where you see the cracks of like our cultural understanding of what college should be like. Like college should be, I think to most people, it's like, these are supposed to be the best 4 years of your life.
Right.
I'm not going to say how many years it was for you, but you just did. Never mind. But I think the parenthetical attached to that is, and they all happen at the same place. Now, we know non-athletes and regular people who have transferred schools before. Like, it's not like leaving a school for another one just got invented. But I think sort of the cultural ideal of the college experience is you go to one place as a freshman, you stay there and leave as a senior and graduate. And you right. have this like cocooned little pre-adult experience. And I think it is harder for people to relate to, oh, okay, I like you wouldn't go to Florida's English department for 2 years to be like, I'm going to springboard from this to
an Ivy or something.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. Like, I think that's not a concept people think
about. If you're at Florida for 2 years,
yeah,
I don't care how much you love literature, and you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Brown. You are dork.
Yeah, sure, sure.
If you haven't figured out the real purpose of college by 2 years, God, you nerd.
So it's hard to find, like, somebody actively at fault here, especially because I always find it interesting. Why was nobody mad at NC State? Nobody's ever mad at the school that comes calling for the coach that's preparing for a tournament game.
I don't even think people would have been mad if it was any other coach.
You think it's because it's Will Wade specifically?
I think that he keeps mm-hmm. finding a way to resurface and succeed in spite of the criticism.
Under the saddle of
and to pull away my own personal stuff and bias and all this kind of like, yeah, it involves the recruiting and bagman culture, and I did all that in my career, whatever. Like, I think that his honesty is so abrasive, and it's the one thing I admire the most about. I've never met the guy. I don't cover basketball. I don't know anything about him, but. I do find myself sort of, you know, saber rattling for honesty as a change agent, as a personality trait, that we have more brutal, transparent honesty. And I would be hard pressed to find a guy more honest than him right now in the sport. And he's kind of hated for it.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's probably right. There's also, there's one other thing going on here, I think. Will Wade didn't spend enough time at McNeese for certain parts of, let's just say, the college basketball community to feel like it was okay for him to leave. And yes, I'm going to use his predecessor at VCU as an example. Like, Shaka Smart had been connected to UCLA, Illinois, Marquette, NC State as well. Like, it was a while before he took the Texas job. And maybe a good example for this is Chris Peterson.
Yes. Chris Peterson was head coach of Boise State for a very, very long time.
A very long, very successful time.
And if you believe certain people, turned down the University of
Texas.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And a few other absolute major blue bloods.
USC, I mean, maybe at some point.
USC, allegedly. Yeah. And the only reason he goes to Washington was that they had a child with special needs. Seattle area was well equipped to take care right. of it. And that was really it.
Right.
And
right.
we still consider him a unicorn in a lot of ways in the college world.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So to go back, I think like that's the old model.
Yeah.
Chris Peterson, Shaka Smart of like, it's okay to leave the under like the mid-major school to go to a big money school, but only if it's like you have to be sort of like wooed repeatedly, or you have to sort of like show your loyalty first. And I think what Will Wade is showing, and that maybe people are getting accustomed to, is like that's also a social more that is maybe on its way out.
So regardless of what happens in your status as we record this, in the NCAA, I'm going to go back to football for a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave you with this. If your coach leaves, you can transfer.
Yes.
What I'm about to say may strike a lot of people as dystopian. I feel it to be a little bit closer to poetic justice. Marshall football last season, it becomes the worst kept secret in the coach gossip world that Charles Huff is done.
Yeah.
They're not going to renew his contract.
Yeah.
So they're really just kind of waiting. I just did a thing with Splits on Duo on this. He was 3-3 at one point. He lost to Georgia Southern, and they would have needed like a 2-game swing to win the division. That ends up happening. Huff doesn't lose another game. Marshall kicks crap out of Louisiana. They don't play in the bowl because he leaves.
Because they don't have anybody. Yeah.
Right, but they ended up winning their conference.
Yes.
Not only is it not a distraction, not only is it not a negative for those players, a significant portion of that Marshall roster from last year, because the school and the head coach were fighting, I'm not going to get into all that. Like, yeah. They were fighting yeah. the entire time.
Yeah.
And the school signaled to pretty much anyone paying attention that we're not going to renew his contract and we're going to have a new head coach in here next year. I don't think it was a distraction. I think it galvanizes any player worth their salt now in the way the new model is set up to focus and perform even better, because you are going to be in the market. You as a Marshall player, down that stretch, when they started yeah. winning those games, it was like, well, Huff's leaving. And by all accounts, he never lost the locker room. They really liked him. I like this guy, but he's gone. I need to ball out because I'm going to...
Because vultures will start circling.
Coaches are going to contact me whether yeah. I enter the portal yeah. or not, and I have the option of entering the portal.
Yeah.
That means I'm going to receive some level of NIL if I'm at a school like Marshall, especially if I go up. So not only is it not a distraction, it might be a really good thing. If you're terrified by that, I understand. But this is where we're at.
So you're saying Will Wade has saved college sports?
I'm saying Will Wade, elected official, no later than 2034. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I know what you're thinking. God, what an amazing, excellent podcast product. That's audio that feels elite, boutique. That was a platinum experience. I'd like to support these individuals. Well, right now, the best and only, for now, way to support us is to rate, like, subscribe, hit buttons, do 5 stars, do 10 stars, do 1,000% on whatever podcasting device, service, etc. that you consumed this on. You could start by doing that, damn it. It's the least you could do. And then the second least thing you could do is tell a friend, because we're just starting out from scratch. It's a fun thing to do multiple times in your life is to start a business from scratch. Highly recommend it. So why don't you help myself and Ryan out by telling one real life human being about Phantom Island. You should be like, do you remember the guy who dressed up as the Bloomin' Onion on TV? Yeah, he's running a business now. What is it? Doesn't matter. Just sign up. Phantom Island. We will have more news, more information, and more content announcements coming very soon. We will also have subscription information very soon on how you can sign up for premium content, interact with us, ask questions, get early access, probably see my face on like a Zoom or something sometime soon. I feel like Zoom is becoming the Skype already. Now we're meets or teams. What a dystopian hellhole we're in. But I can make a podcasting company and you guys can support it. Thank you so much for listening today. We will be back later this week.